Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Well, love, what time is it?
Church time. It is time for a giveaway.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. So this is our last one for this series that we're doing here today. Did everybody get a ticket in your hand? If not, raise your hand if you did not get a 18 ticket.
18 and over.
18 and over.
Praise the Lord.
If you did not get a ticket, keep your hand up. The ushers will get to you.
You say, well, why did you make it 18? Well, I think that's a good question to answer real quick. Praise the Lord, as everybody's. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. Ushers will get that to you, because we made the decision that if you're under 18, we want to make sure there's parental discretion on how this wonderful gift is spent. Praise the Lord. So we just make it 18 and above, and that's why we did it. Praise
so
the Lord.
True.
It's very generous, and we want it to be under the right care. Praise the Lord. Amen. Here it comes.
All right.
I know somebody's claiming it. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Look at there, man. We got some claimers in here. Yeah. Feel over there.
Thank you, Brother Jimmy. You're a blessing.
All right. Here we go. All right. 8273088. Who we got? Who's the winner here? Where? All right,
praise
Judy.
God, Judy.
All right, Miss Judy.
One of our great educators in our school system. Amen.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
It's JC.
Okay, all right.
That counts for both of you.
Yeah. Well, make sure you get half of that since he didn't come up here. Praise the Lord. Amen. JC, we love you, man. Praise
That's
God.
That's awesome.
God is so good. Let's put your hands together for them again. Amen. Praise God.
Pull me over this way.
Yeah, we do like that. Okay.
A little bit closer here last time. Okay.
All right. Praise God. How many are ready for the word today? Amen. From the start. We've called this series From the Start because we're learning how to do things God's way from the start. What to do and even some things not to do. Amen. And so let's talk about that one quick way. It's from the start in your life in Christ. How many know in your life in Christ you need to, from the start, learn to do it God's way? Amen. How many know from the start in your marriage, amen, your family and relationships, really in any relationship.
Any relationship.
Sometimes we just, and sometimes we just need a new start, a new place to start. We need to learn from the start. But I realize, or we realize, that so many times as people grow, they just need a restart. Amen. And a place where they can hook back in and just say, look, I'm going to start anew, and I'm going to do it God's way. And so, and no matter who we are, whether we're single, married, it doesn't make any difference. From the start will help us in a relationship with God, first and foremost, in our relationship with one another. Whoops, I didn't want to go down. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm short enough. Praise God. Amen. So today, we're going to talk about guiding values. Guiding values. We need guiding values in all of our lives from the start. Amen. And today, we want to pick up, love, where we actually left off last week. When we, what we did was we began to talk about the last day's assault upon the home, marriage, and families. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we find these scriptures, even though we only looked at 2 Timothy, which we'll get there in a moment, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but actually in both books of Timothy, it tells us in the final days that the home and our lives will come under assault. Good news is that we have answers to that.
That's right.
Amen. And so one of the answers to that is guiding values. But let's take a look or pick back up where we began to talk last week about this last day assault. And we're going to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We won't take long here, but we believe that it's worth being aware of. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Lets us know, it says, now the Holy Spirit speaks expressly. This means very clearly, emphatically, this will happen. This may not be what we call a precious promise, but God doesn't tell us things to scare us. He tells us things to prepare us. So we're not caught off guard, and we know how to deal with these issues. This is the Holy Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times. And this word latter actually means the last of the last days. So we know that the last days began actually on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. And we're at the close of the church age. Amen. And we know, chronologically speaking, we're on the very last of the last days. And this is what the latter times means. And it warns that some shall depart from the faith. And here's why. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, or teachings that the devil teach. You know, we live in a time of delusion and a delusional a society, and it goes on and tells us that speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, where it says speaking lies and hypocrisy, other translation says men who speak lies and hypocrisy. So in other words, what happens is seducing spirits will speak and interject thoughts to our mind. In this last day, we're warned that society will be much of the society. Matter of fact, society without God will be shaped by the voices of evil and unclean spirits.
Yep.
This is why the Bible warns us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, not to be conformed to this world,
right,
or don't let the world around us squeeze us into its mold.
Or contaminate us.
Amen. And so these are the very things that are going to happen. And those spirits actually not only speak to people to get them off these delusional times that we live in, but actually it will cause men and women to rise up and speak hypocritical things because they have seared their conscience. It means they no longer listen to the Spirit of God, who will work with their conscience to tell us right from wrong. We can sear that, and we can go our own way.
That's right, and it's become numb and dull.
Yes, we can do all those things. And so we want to remind us of these very things. And last week, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, mm-hmm, verses 1 through 5. And we won't take long here, but it's worth repeating again. Mm-hmm. We're reading from the Passion Translation, where it says, but you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce. This word fierce here is translated wonderfully. Actually, in the King James Version, it says, perilous time shall come. But it's the word that's translated. The only other time that is used is over in the book of Matthew, where it describes the demoniac man possessed of the devil, and it said he was exceedingly fierce. So the Passion Translation says it very well. It says the culture of society will become extremely fierce. Now, here's what it will begin to look like. It says people will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, obsessed with money. They will boast of great things. They will strut around in their arrogant pride, mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. Mm. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander, slaves to self-desires. They will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. Brutal with brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted, wrapped in clouds of their own conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than in the pleasures of loving God. And last but not least, it says, and they will pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. Now, of course, we want to reach people like these.
That's right.
And we want to do that. But notice, we cannot let what's on them get off on us. We're to take in the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the gospel, which has the only power to change the heart and life of people.
That's
Amen.
It.
And so as we do that, as we're mindful, here's the thing concerning the assault upon the family, the home and family, marriage and relationships. When we read verses 1 through 4, it can be so heart-wrenching and discouraging that we almost seem like it's helpless. What's the good if it's getting this evil? But I want you to know the Bible talks about is evil and the dark as the world gets, we are to get brighter and brighter until the day that Christ comes. And so what we talked about last week, we will not reiterate, and I'll go through all of this again. But here's what we do as a counter. We must learn to teach our families, our lives, our relationships, and live from the opposite of this. If the Bible says that in the last days men will be lovers of themselves, self-centered, and so on and so forth, we have to teach our family what loving God looks like.
Yes.
What loving others look like. Mm-hmm. Amen. We need to teach our family and ourselves what does generosity look like. We have to take whatever it says that men will become and do, we have to turn that around. Yeah. And this is how we become armed and dangerous, by taking the exact opposite of what that would look like. If it's going to be a selfish society, we have to learn to be unselfish and generous. We have to teach that. Our homes need to reflect that. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that we just do reverse. And this is so powerful. The reason why God did it this way, he not only told us what to watch out for, but he also told us how to overcome it. And I'm telling you, even though it doesn't say it there, what we must do is do exactly opposite, and begin to declare those things, that we have a starting point and we do things God's way, not the world's way.
That's
Amen.
The key right
and so
there.
we have to have a counterculture moment, so to speak, is what I call it, that we teach and do the opposite in your life, marriage and family, that the world does. Or you have to teach and do the things that God said to do, like love himself, love him, and hate evil. Yeah. You know, it is right to hate evil.
It is right to hate evil.
Amen.
Yes,
and things slowly creep in our world and our society, and we have to be aware of this and close the door on it and say no to this. This is what the world looks like. This is not what the church is to look like. Make no mistake about it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the
Many
Lord.
Many times people tend to follow trends and fashions instead of the Word of God and what He has said.
Yeah. Praise God. Did you? I didn't know whether if there's a particular thing that you wanted to bring up here or not concerning some things that kind of creep in unexpectedly in organizations and different things, or we just want
keep
to move
on.
We're going to keep on going today. Let me do one other thing in today because I believe it's worth. We have to address issues that address us. Mm-hmm. Don't let your children be confused about transgenderism, DEI, and the different things that have crept into the church.
Right.
Through the world.
That's right.
The world is, the church is to love the world. But loving the world, you have to do it God's way. And you don't do it by compromise. Doesn't mean because you address issues that you don't like or don't love people. Matter of fact, you are loving them by addressing the issue. Matter of fact, you're loving God by addressing the issue, because part of loving God is to fear God. Amen. And the fear of God is to hate evil. It's all right to hate evil.
Yes.
Okay? Because it will destroy our lives. Okay? And so one of the things, let me just bring this up. One of the things that I think that is worth addressing is, you know, thank God that, you know, we live in a time of reprieve. And whether you agree with the personality of President Trump or not, I can just tell you, he, with one stroke of a pen, made a decision to get the women out of men's sports, to say that there's two genders and two genders only, return to what the Bible said about this.
Yeah.
Okay? That doesn't mean, because that doesn't mean we hate people. It means we agree with God.
That's right. His word.
His word.
That is our standard.
That is our standard.
By which we measure our lives by.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And the thing about transgenderism doesn't mean that we don't love people. But listen, this disproves how much of a delusional society that we actually live in. To say one day I'm a boy, next day I'm a girl, the next week I'm a cat, it just shows what 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 and 2 means. It means that we live in a delusional society. To even entertain that, to even think that that capacity could be right, and that by not speaking against that or being able to call that wrong.
Yeah.
Listen, we were so close to being censored and the church being shut down.
Yeah.
We better be glad that we have a reprieve.
Yes.
Because it is all about reaching people with the gospel.
Come on.
It's all about doing the work in the ministry of Jesus Christ.
It's our time.
And so let me just give you one Camille, and I may say her name wrong. I'll say this really quick and we'll move on. Camille Appollier in 1993 made her famed book, Sexual Persona, a great hit, and she provided in the book, she's not only was a transgender, but she's an atheist woman, and she made no bars about it. Here's what's her statement in her book. Now, her statement of the book brought much against this. This is all the way back in 1993. Because it brought much opposition from the left and from people that were, she was transgender, brought much opposition against her, but she spoke about the truth about it. And here's what she said. History proves the last sign before the fall of every civilization was the acceptance of transgenderism. Whether Rome, Greece, the gender games, when you see these types of things happen, the only thing left for that civilization is to collapse. You will see in history how the Greeks, how the Romans and the Greeks, originally the men in the statues and stuff were robust, muscular, but as time progressed, they became feminine. They loved one another. They did all those kind of things. She said this, and she says the final step is the collapse of that society. I'm announcing to us today, we were on a close and crash course with the fall of this society. It may come, but it doesn't have to come on our watch. Can I get an amen?
And so we
must understand these things, not be against people, but we have to know the truth, because only by knowing the truth can we rescue our families and not allow them to be confused or caught up into the dangers that this world portrays. We must take steps to safeguard our lives and our homes, and the only way we can do that is by knowing the truth and having the truth. And the truth is not, remember, the truth is not something. The truth is someone. What Jesus Christ and what He has said. Can I get an amen? So we must take the steps to safeguard our lives and home. This is why we need guiding values from the start. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, we must take steps to safeguard our homes, families, marriages, children, all of it. Amen. So let's look at the first step here today. We say the first step is to make Jesus Christ your highest priority. Now, I want to share, I worked in the shipyard for over 20 years of my life. And when Pastor Chris and I both got saved, I got saved first, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He got saved, we both got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Hallelujah. Spoke with other tongues. Amen.
Amen.
Not ashamed of that, proud of that. Thank God for
it. Thank God for it.
Amen, because that is the norm. But anyway, we worked regular jobs just like anybody else.
Yep.
I would get up from 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, get on a shipyard bus.
At what time?
5 o'clock.
I
have to meet the bus. Okay. 5 o'clock, get to the shipyard, work an 8-hour day just like anybody else, get back out of the shipyard, catch the bus, and come back home between 5:30, 6 o'clock, sometimes after 6 o'clock. And immediately when we got home, if it was a church night, there was no question in our mind if we need to go to church. It was, we're going to church.
Yeah.
We kept Jesus as a priority in our life, and I believe that's what sustained us. That's what helped us to get where we are today, because we never would have heard or done what we're doing today. So keep the Jesus Christ needs to be your highest priority. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus said to the people, to that group of people, he said, you left your first love. You left it.
Make and keep him your first love, in other words.
That's right. Yeah. So you have to make him your first love and keep Jesus as your first love. And it tells us also in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33 to seek first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. But he's telling us the standard that we need to set in our own lives every single day.
Yeah.
This is not just Sunday mornings, not just Wednesday nights. This is all the time. This is our lifestyle.
Yeah. Where we really learn of him, who he really is.
And what he,
what
does.
He does. And what he doesn't
what
do.
Pleases him, what doesn't please him. What he delights in, what he does not delight in.
And those things we make our highest priority. We either accept or reject.
That's right.
It's that simple.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we didn't give it a second thought. We were, I'm telling you, when we got born again and baptized with the Holy Ghost in fire, I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. And if I find myself even like slowing down a little bit, I'm like, Lord, increase that fire and that desire for your Word, just like I had at the beginning when I got born again and baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Sometimes it's a good prayer, isn't it?
Yes.
I want to be more on fire.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So one of the things that making Jesus your highest priority is learning what, from the start, what is necessary. And one of the things that we're going to have to learn is the importance of sitting at Jesus' feet.
That's right.
Just
we're
like,
looking at Martha and Mary.
Yeah.
In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, here's the story of Martha and Mary. Jesus and his disciples were going through the area, and Jesus stops, and Martha invites her and invites him into her home. And he comes into her home, and she gets really busy and concerned and distracted with serving a big meal for Jesus because he's in her house. But at the same time, Mary, her sister, is also with her in that house. And Mary started with her sister, but then she finds out that Jesus is teaching in her sister's home, and she's like, I ain't missing out on this. I'm going to where Jesus is teaching the word, and I'm going to sit at his feet, and I'm going to hear while the hearing is good. And Jesus, Martha gets a little upset with that, and she's like, Jesus, tell my sister to come back and help me and continue what she was doing to help me with this big meal I got to prepare. And Jesus was like, Martha, you're cumbered about with many things. You're anxious, you're distracted, but that's the wrong purpose right now. Mm-hmm. You need to be at the feet of Jesus. He says that which Mary has chosen will not be taken from her, because what she has chosen is necessary, and it's essential, and it's being presented right now, and you're missing out on that which is important. Yeah.
One of the things that we need to realize, church, is that we can be too busy, that in being too busy, we actually destroy the part about making Jesus our highest priority. I can tell you the scripture in the parable of the sower lets us know that the distractions of this age,
the
lust of
age,
other things, for finances and all these things will choke out the word of God. And what it means simply is we become
or
too busy.
Or our time with Jesus.
Yeah, time. It supersedes our time with Jesus. You may not spend as much time with Jesus, but he should be first in everything and live no farther away than a breath, a thought, wherewith you're living in his presence. Does that make sense? Amen. Praise God. What's another thing that we should do here, love?
All right, another one is make the Word of God a priority.
This is number two.
Personally and as a family.
Amen.
Because if you're not filled with the Word of God yourself, how are you going to help somebody else?
Yeah, you can't. They're looking for answers. The world looking for answers. But the answer they're looking for that only has power to change is the Word of God.
It's the Word of God. That's the only thing.
So one of the things I always like to say, love, is our attitude towards the Word of God will determine the place that God holds in our daily life. Amen.
So true.
And Brother Hagin taught us the word you get thrilled with is the word that will work for you. So you can equate what's working for us to the word that actually we get thrilled with. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy word, the God's word was found, and I did eat them, and they came the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts." Amen. So it is, and it does make a difference. We need to ask ourselves things like this. What does the Word say? When we are confronted with issues, ask yourself, what does the Word say? What would Jesus do? That's what it's saying. What does the Word say?
Exactly.
Amen.
You have to train yourself to do that.
Exactly.
Especially when you've been in the world a long time, you get saved, born again. You learn to train yourself. What does the Word say?
Yeah.
And learn to go to the Word and find out what the Word says and then begin to apply it in your life.
Because these are steps that safeguard our lives and families. Even though you may know them, let me just remind you today, it's what we do with what we know.
That's
that
true.
That changes us. Not just what we know. So many people, I'm sure, in here would say, well, you know what? I already know that I should make Jesus my highest priority. I should make the Word of God a priority, number two. But how many people are really doing that? And it doesn't hurt us to be reminded, because just like Pastor Debbie read in in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus had left their first love. It's not that they did not know it or once were in it, but you can leave it. So beware. Amen. Praise God.
A lot of people like to gain all this knowledge and more knowledge and more information and more knowledge, but if they're not applying it, it's not helping them one bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Knowledge
acted upon brings results.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we could do to make God's word a priority in our home, read the word together.
As a family.
As a family. Mm-hmm. Or hear it together.
Right.
One of the things I so enjoy in our mornings together, because Pastor Debbie and I get up several hours most of the time before we even start our day together. And then while we have our moment together of breakfast that we love, one of the things that we do together is listen to the Word of God. We have it read to us.
Yes.
Because my mouth is full of food, and you don't want to hear me read with, amen. And can you imagine, as much as I spray now preaching, if I'm eating, I would really be spraying. So Pastor Debbie would not look too good. Praise the Lord. So we actually have the Word of God read to us. We listen to sometimes a couple chapters, and then we'll re-listen, but we go through the Bible that way, or go through the New Testament repeatedly that way. And mm-hmm. I let you kind of set that up and go where we, as we read through it, and it's really encouraging that we talk about it. Amen.
Well,
you can do that with your family. You can take time to read. It doesn't have to be much. It can just be one chapter.
That's true.
Amen. Yeah. But you need to do that. And it would help. This is helping making the Word of God a priority. It's teaching the right thing in your home. Amen. Habit, pray the Word together as a family. That's important.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
That goes back men to lead what it. The Word says.
Yeah. Lead it, men. If you're a single mom, you lead it.
That's
but
right.
It's something, it doesn't have to be, 30 minutes. But you need to set that example. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to teach them how to pray. You pray the Word. You pray the Word. Hosea 14:2 says, take words with you and return unto the Lord. That implies you take the Word of God and you return that back to the Lord. Isaiah 55 says, so shall be the word that goes out of his mouth. It will not return to him void, but accomplish which he desire and achieves the purpose whereunto he sent it. Mm-hmm. John 15:7, if you abide in him and his word abide in us, we shall ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. Teach your family how to take the promises of God and return them to God. Pray them, amen, and receive from God that way as individuals and a family. But teach them this. Amen. And to pray, not just to receive things that are beneficial for you, but to pray for others. Things that are first and foremost important to God's heart, like 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says that we're to pray for kings and for those in authority.
Yes.
We should pray for others, it tells us. So if we do and put others first, you're teaching your family how to do the right things.
It is
no longer just, Lord, bless me, my wife, my two children, us four, no more. It's about actually teaching them how to make the Word of God a priority in all areas, which would include prayer. Because really, godly prayer has to have a foundation of God's Word in it. And without that, there is no answered prayer. It's just a hoping and it's a praying, and it's no different than the world with vain repetition. And you have to teach your family that. Men, you're well able. You're well able.
There you go.
Praise God. Men, you're well able. And
there you go.
And single moms, you're well able.
Amen.
Or single dads, you're well
That's
able.
Right.
Will it take effort? But yes, but
yes.
It will pay off.
That's
it
right.
will pay off. And you say, well, I haven't been doing this, and this is why I don't like hear messages like this. Because I feel condemned. I'm not condemning you. Stop it. Just learn to start today to do it the right way. This is why we call it from the start. Have a starting place.
Yeah.
Where you're inspired to do it the right way.
Yes.
Amen. But you got to know what to do. Amen.
It's true.
Praise God. What's the next point, love?
Okay. We're on number three.
We're on number three already. Praise the Lord.
Number three is listen to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Learn to follow His guidance. Hear His voice, that inward witness on the inside. The most important way that God's going to lead you is through the inward witness on the inside.
Yeah.
In your heart and your spirit. That's the most important way God is going to lead you. And it's the more that you get I don't like to use that word familiar, but the more that you learn his ways and his voice.
The way he leads us by his Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You know, he does lead us. His word and his spirit agree.
That's right.
He will lead us by his word. He will lead us by our conscience because it's a measure of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. But the number one way that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, leads us is through the inward witness. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 tells us, "But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So the sons of God, you and I, who've made Jesus Christ the Lord of life. But notice how it doesn't even say they are the children of God. Because this word sons is a different word that actually implies more mature.
Yeah.
And so it is telling us as many as are able to be led by the Spirit of God, this inward witness, because verse 16 says, His Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. So His Spirit bears witness, where? In our spirits. That not only we're the sons of God, but this is where He will lead us at, in our spirits. Amen. Not in our heads, not in our feelings, but in our spirit. And it says that we are the mature sons of God. So the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Amen. And Jesus told His disciples this, in John 14, 15, and 16, where He said things like, the Spirit of God, when He comes, He'll lead and guide you into all truth. And He'll actually show you things to come. Mm-hmm. He'll show you the future.
That's right.
And that means pertaining even to your own life.
Yep.
Amen. And because the Spirit of God inspired the Word of God, we have a prophetic book right here. Amen. One quarter to one third of this book is prophetic. No other religious book predicts the end from the beginning. This is how God says, you know, this comes from Him. This is how you know that it's divinely inspired. God tells us the end from the beginning. And He will not only tell us the things that pertain to this whole world and His kingdom coming, but also your part to play in it. This is why it's so important that we need to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow His guidance for our life. Because the guidance of the Holy Spirit, love, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, church, will lead and guide you into all truth. And one of the areas, you know, the Holy Spirit before we're saved, think about this. The Holy Spirit before we're saved is working to get you saved.
Mm-hmm.
He's working to draw you unto the Savior Jesus Christ, making Him real. This is found in a number of places, but in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 9 lets us know. He come to convict the world of sin because they believe not on Jesus, of righteousness, amen, and of judgment. And so here's a beautiful
part. It's the Holy Spirit's job.
Yes.
To help us every single day. And changing us,
oh yes,
empowering us, and helping us fulfill the will of God personally every single day in our lives.
So think about this. The Holy Spirit is the same source, God Himself, who comes to bring us to Christ so we can be saved. But that same Holy Spirit, once we're saved, will work to lead us and guide us into the perfect will of God. Which would include being filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's
the
exactly
next step
right.
For every believer is to be
filled
with
the
Holy
Ghost
Spirit and be able
with
to...
With the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue.
Right. And so we need this because we need to be able to pray out the mysteries, the divine secrets, the plans and purposes of God for our life.
Absolutely.
And this is so important.
Plus, every single one of us need the power. Said, you shall be clothed with power from on high. You shall be endued with power. You shall receive power that when the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yeah.
That power is not for yourself, but it's to empower you to be a witness for Jesus Christ here on the earth. You are a proof producer.
Woo, glory.
That Jesus is alive and well in and through you to others.
Yes.
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 Hallelujah. And it's also when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in an unknown tongue, it's to edify you. That word edify is taken from one of the words in the English, charge. like a battery
to
does
be
in a
built
car.
Up spiritually.
Yeah, be edified, built up, rise like an edifice higher and higher.
One translation, love, says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it says, he that
verse
speaks, verse 4, he that speaks
four.
in a unknown tongue may be edifies himself. One translation says he may be advancing his own spiritual progress. Mm-hmm. Did you know that one of the benefits of praying in other tongues is that you are not only building yourself on your most holy faith, Jude verse 20, but you're also advancing your own spiritual progress. You are playing out the plan and purposes of God. You're praying out your future, that your life, the track that your life runs on. This is why it's so important. But the beautiful thing is, the reason why we said that these are three things that help us, and one of is which is listening to the Holy Spirit, because no matter where we're at in life, the Holy Spirit was sent to help us to take our next steps in God.
Yes. Yes.
To help us either to get us to Christ, and once we're in Christ, to take all the steps that are necessary. And whether you're 8, 16, 26, 46, or 96, there's steps we still take and can grow in, and the Holy Spirit will help us in.
It's important that your children are baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we have a blessed children's ministry.
Put your hands together
for our children's ministry.
They make
sure our children are first saved, born again, that they know Jesus as their Savior, and that they're baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And speak in other tongues. You know, I'm thinking right now, my sister and I, my sister sitting right over there, me and her one time, we were riding down the road, and she had one of her daughters with us, the oldest one at that time, Trista, and she was with us, and she was in the back seat, and my sister and I, we were just praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues together. We were going down the road, and all of a sudden, her little daughter in the back, which she was about, what, four then, or five? Four. She come right out of that seat. She leaned right over in the front seat to my sister and myself. She goes, I can do that. And we said, you can. And she looked at us, and she gets this big smile. She goes, I can do that. We said, well, come on, do it with us. And she started opening her mouth and praying in tongues with my sister and I going down the road. And she was just as excited about it. We were excited for her and trying to explain to her, but that's your language to Jesus. Jesus understands everything you're praying. So it was just so cute. But children are so...
They're open.
They're open, and
they haven't been indoctrinated
with
the doubt and unbelief of the world. They haven't heard the lies that it's of the devil.
Right.
And they have simple childlike faith that it takes to receive from God. They're not allowed all the world to cloud their minds, because it's not a mental experience, it's a spiritual experience that you receive.
It is, and the sooner that your children can have experiences and encounters with Jesus, come on now.
They need that.
Those things are fingerprints of God in their lives that they'll never forget.
Yes, praise God. And so it's our job to help lead that. And it's wonderful that they get filled with the Holy Spirit here, but what are you doing as a family?
Yeah.
It's not weird, it's right.
Come
on.
That is the norm.
And it's the norm.
But the world
the
wants
Testament
to make
Church.
You think, oh, that's weird. Come on. Those tongue talkers, are you kidding? They're weird people. They're off the chart. We are for Jesus.
Yeah, the devil will try to do anything to talk you out of the will of God for your life.
That's
Don't
true.
Let him know what the will of God is. Proceed with it. And I can guarantee you the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into the perfect will of God, which includes being filled with the Holy Spirit, because it is part about helping us to follow His guidance and the guiding values that we need in our life and to help us to win and overcome this fallen world, the attacks that have come against us. We need these guiding values from the start.
From the start.
Sooner we have them, the better off we are.
Yeah.
Love, why don't we talk about this? Why don't you?
Yeah. Amen. So we need these guiding values from the start. I like this.
Put the slide up for us today.
Yes. Love, L-O-V-E, living our values every day. living our values every day. Love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
It is. It is good.
Yes. We talked about these values right here. So
let's talk about this for one moment. And what we must learn to do is practice and put into practice the basic principles of the faith. They call the guiding values of our Christian faith. Of the faith. Not just faith, the faith. The faith is talking about the doctrines that the New Testament teaches. We need to have correct teaching in order to have correct living.
Come on.
And there's things that's going to help us to live out loud and that we need to have as guiding values, their basic principles, their fundamentals. The word fundamental means basic but important.
Yes.
So we need the basic principles of the faith. And listen, church, we need to get these right. So
yes.
Let's talk about some of them.
Yes.
You know them. I mention these so often, but it is so important. And it's still exciting to me because it's just like every basketball game, every sport game, whether it's baseball, soccer, basketball, football, they warm up. They do the fundamentals.
Yes,
they don't apologize for it. Matter of fact, they do it and they have to do it and have to be good at it or they wouldn't be able to be in the game. Come on.
It's true.
And so we must understand, we got to get these things right. These are guiding values like this, our reading and studying of the Bible and our meditation of the Bible.
Yes.
Because remember, they help you to grow. You're not doing this out of religious duty, amen, to get God to love you.
No,
reading, studying, meditation is for you.
That's right.
It helps you to grow.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so it's not a religious duty that you're jumping through to get God to love you or accept you.
Nope.
Get this straight. Yeah. But these had to be guiding values that are incorporated in our life. You know, I remember a time that, and every case is different, love, but I remember a time that a person came to us with a great need, and they talked about these things that were coming against their life. And once we found out what they were, you asked the simple question, how much time do you spend in the Word daily? And they just said, well, I have this devotional. And it was from a wonderful minister. Listen, I could name names and everybody would know the name. I thank God for devotionals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I thank God for devotionals. But I also looked at the person. I said, listen, spirit-filled living requires spirit-filled feeding. This is not spirit-filled. And even though it's good, you need spirit-filled feeding.
Yes.
And when they said, well, I take about 15 minutes a day and I do this devotion, and Pastor Debbie looked at them and just said, that's not enough. And the truth is, it's not. If you've got mountains in your area, you have to make readjustment. Where's the Word at? Make it priority. Say, well, I don't have time. You're going to have to make time or lose for the rest of your life. Which one do you want?
That's right. We didn't say it was easy.
We had to make adjustments in our
exactly
life.
That's exactly right. When I got up to go to the shipyard, I made sure I got up early so I could spend 30 to 35 minutes every morning in the Word.
And when the times were early, I mean, and the light came, you could read and study on the bus as well.
Exactly.
Coming home, same thing.
That was my meditation time coming back.
Meditation
home.
Was, okay, praise the Lord. But the point is, you had those things. How about prayer? Mm. They help you both to receive. See, this is a guiding value. I know we talked about this, but prayer helps you to both receive and hear from God. If you only see prayer as a receiving time, in other words, getting your prayers answered. Now, God, give me. Instead of hearing and direction from God, then we need both.
Yes.
Amen. But it must be. And it's going to take time. And one of the beautiful things about this is, where do you learn this? One place you learned it is the same place we learned it is in the local church.
That's true.
Amen. By coming to church week in and week out. Mm-hmm. And we have to let Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, be a God in principle, where we do not neglect the assembly of ourselves together as the man of some is, but all the more as we see the day approaching. This is a guiding value, that because coming to church helps you to become the disciple God designed you to be. And make no mistake about it, you're not going to get there on your own or without a pastor in a local church, because the Bible doesn't say the opposite. It says that.
That's
Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, as well as other places, lets us know the necessity of the fivefold ministry gifts and the local church in our lives, because it is from that place that God said that we'll grow and become a disciple. And why it's important, because you learn the right way to do things.
That's true.
If you're in the right local church, you got to sell it. Make up your mind.
You
go. You get rid of the double-mindedness stuff.
It's your ark of safety.
It's your last day ark of safety. Stop having the conversations about it on the day of decision. Make up your mind that this is not a Sundays is not a negotiable.
That's right.
I mean, there's times that go on vacation. I get all that. But I'm talking about, don't make every Sunday morning the negotiation at the breakfast table whether we are going to church or not. Settle it. Settle these things. Don't give yourself, this is one of the keys of our success in 39 years, that when we got saved, church attendance wasn't a multiple choice for us. It was settled from the get-go, and we did it.
Yeah, I think about the early church in the book of Acts, because the early church, they built their lives around God and the church.
Yeah.
They did not build God and the church around their lives and give God the leftovers.
That's right.
Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
No, they made it a priority. They kept it a priority.
And the very first thing they kept priority is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You can write it down. There's four things there.
42.
It begins with the doctrine of the apostles. So in other words, right doctrine taught from many women of God that are trained to do so. Amen. Called of God and trained to do so. Amen. Is where they regularly, steadfastly devoted their attention to. It began there and ended in prayer. And in between, it had right association and fellowships
yes,
with people
did.
That will build you up in the same society, the same household of faith, and of communion, which we're about to receive in just one moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Two other guiding values. One is giving and tithing and giving. Because the tithe is holy. Treat it as that.
That's right.
This is not some religious duty. This is an act of worship. Treat it as holy and you'll see a greater return. In other words, God is trying to teach us generosity. How to keep God first in life. Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, the Living Bible says, the purpose of tithing is to teach us to put God first in our life. Amen. I love this saying, and you should too. Invest your life earnings in the souls of men. Invest your life earnings in the souls of men. Yes, save, pay your bills, give, but invest. Notice, tithes and offerings is about investing your life earnings in the souls of men.
It's because the first test you'll learn to pass once you get born again. It's what you're going to do with your money.
Yep. Luke 16.
You think, well, my money don't have me. Well, choose about what you're going to do with it, because
Amen.
That's where it decides.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the last guiding principle that we'll talk about today that will help us to overcome the assault of the last day against our relationship as a households, as a married couple,
families.
And as a family, or as individuals, I think I said that, is our service to God, our serving.
Mm-hmm.
Part
serving.
Of our spiritual maturity, we get no other way.
Come on.
Is through serving.
It
and
is.
We receive such fulfillment in serving and helping others. You are helped too,
mm-hmm.
and we need to be mindful of that. The moment, I'm thoroughly convinced, and time will tell, if Jesus doesn't come back, as soon as I'm expecting him to do in the rapture for the church. If we're here and still in 20 years from now and I'm not in heaven with him, then you can expect this man to be serving God. You can be expecting, whether I'm the pastor of this local church then or not, you can expect to see me serving or I'm backslidden. And just tell you, my service may look different, but the moment I stop, the moment I relax my walk in service to God, the Bible warns us in 1 Samuel chapter 12 that we go after vain things.
That's true.
And by keeping a relationship with God hot, a relationship with others hot that can spur iron sharpeneth iron, and by serving God diligently, helping others advance the kingdom of God, it may be you got to do it different. It may be that you got to do it from home on your knees in prayer, but you can do it.
That's
bless
right.
God. There may be different ways that we have to adjust and do. We need to let the younger generation who has more energy take my place. But don't forget, you got wisdom. And you're not a throwaway or castaway. You are a voice and a force that needs to stabilize and to be part of the local church. But the moment we forget our walk and our service to God and relax on that, then we will follow. The Bible says that we will revert to vain things and we will backslide, and I choose not to. This is living our day values every
day.
And these are guiding values that if we let God our lives, then it shows we love God, we love others, and we love the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. It's not what my church can do for me, but what can I do for my church?
Amen. And
hallelujah.
That may look, and that looks different for us all.
Sure.
Amen.
Yeah.
So today, love, in closing, from the start, another thing in closing today, we want to receive communion with the time that we have left today. And I want to show everyone today that the Bible tells us that where a relationship is with God, from the start, we need to have a spiritual understanding and a natural application of communion. So that means that we need to understand, have knowledge and understanding of what this table represents and what it means, and how to actually apply it to our lives. That means we do it with the expectation of what it was designed to do, to work in our bodies and work in our lives. But we need an understanding of this from the start. And we want to begin by looking in verse, turn with us, if you would, before we receive this today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. This is so powerful. Paul said, I delivered unto you of first of all. Everybody say first of all. One translation says of first importance. Everybody say of first importance. You know what that means? It means from the start.
Yes, yes, yes.
I delivered unto you from the start, which I also received, that had Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So in other words, we need an understanding from the start of the power of the death, burial, and resurrection. The power in the body and the blood, or those elements. Those elements, that cup and that bread, represents the elements. We need to understand from the start, the power in the body and in the blood. Because, you know, what got Jesus, you know, he had a whole group. Imagine Jesus having a multitude following him, and the disciples. And he has this holy conversation with them in John chapter 6. We don't have time to turn there. And he started talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. If you don't, you have no part in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says that whole multitude left him. The only ones who were left were the disciples, and they were left scratching their head. He just turned and left. He said, you going to leave me too?
Yeah.
He didn't beg them to stay. He didn't cry after them. He said, you going to leave me too? They got it. They said, no. you're the only one with words of eternal life. The problem is, listen, they didn't have an understanding. That crowd didn't have an understanding like his disciples did from the start what he was saying.
That's right.
These elements, the body and the blood, represent these elements represent the body and the blood, which teach us that Jesus, what he was saying about you eat my body and drink my blood, he's saying, I am the Passover lamb. Mm-hmm. See, the Jewish people came together, had to present themselves, every male had to present themselves 3 times a year, and during the Passover, that celebration, that festival of the Lord, taught upon about that Passover lamb. Jesus said, the Passover lamb, the real Passover lamb is right here.
Yeah.
And everything it did in type and shadow under the Old Testament is going to be lived out and brought to pass in the New Testament, a fresh and a living and a new way through my death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 to 26, and then we'll begin by closing and receiving communion together today. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, and we get to verse 26. I want to bring special attention to something that Jesus said, but all of this is important. Paul said, I've handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. So what he taught here came directly from the Lord. This wasn't man-made. This is directly from the Lord. The same night in which he was handed over, he took bread and he gave thanks. And then he distributed to his disciples and said, take it and eat till you fill. It is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And he did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant in my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink this, do it to remember me. Now look at verse 26. This is powerful. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. In other words, what this is, you know, in other words, when it says you are retelling the story, you are telling from the start what this meant, what this provided for you, what it did, what it means for us, and what it provided. In other words, the death, burial, resurrection, and we must have an understanding of it. Every time we talk about it, we're telling retelling the story. Isn't that good? Because why do we need to retell it? Because from the start, we need to know it, and we need to never forget it.
That's right.
And so what is this telling us? That the forgiveness of sins, amen, and divine healing are both works of the cross. Are both works of the cross.
Yes,
the cross,
yes.
His death, burial, and resurrection, the cross is what he said, the death. What did he die on? The cross. He said that we should proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We should talk about the power of the cross, retell that story. Why? Because we must understand the forgiveness of sins and divine healing are both works of the cross.
There you go.
By associating both with the work of the cross, both salvation and healing are available. Just you, Ryan, come at this time. I'm going to say that again. By associating both the work of the cross, by both salvation and healing, are available to anyone and all who receive them by simple faith. What Jesus did on the cross was for everyone. And we must get this right from the start.
Yes.
The cup that has the blood was for the forgiveness of our sins. He said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, that the blood was shed to deliver us from this present world system according to the will of God the Father. That is what the blood does, to forgive us of our sins so that we could be delivered from this present evil world system according to the will of God our Father.
Yes.
That's how important the cup is. We need to know it from the start, but also we need to know what this what this the bread has provided. His body was broken. His body was broken. The work of atonement is the forgiveness of sins and the healing of sickness, disease, ultimately are inseparably linked in the mind and heart of God. And what God has joined together, we shouldn't separate. So, in other words, it teaches that they work together. This is why 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. He removed our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live by his righteousness. His blood not only forgave us, but made us righteous.
Yes.
And by whose stripes we are healed. His body was broken for the purpose so that ours could be made whole. This work of Calvary that we are to proclaim and retell, that we from the start must know about, lets us know that the forgiveness of sins and divine healing are both parts, both works of the cross, and they are available to anyone and all who receive them by simple faith.
Amen.
So let's start with this today as we close. What about you today? The basic need of all humanity is that we need the forgiveness of sins. We need to know our sins are not only forgiven, but through the forgiveness of sins, we can approach God and be made right with God. The blood was shed so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be right with God, and we all become right with God one way, and that's through our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so today we realize that as we retell this story of the cross, of the death, burial, and resurrection, we let everyone know today that the blood was shed so our sins could be forgiven. Because one day, matter of fact, for 24 years of my life, I sat like you could have or could be sitting in here today. Listen to what I'm saying. For 24 years of my life, love, I sat in church services, coming and going, coming one way, leaving the same way. Coming a sinner and lost, leaving a sinner and lost. Not because the provision of salvation and the forgiveness of my sin hasn't been made by Jesus Christ, but because that story wasn't retold in a way, or I did not understand it in a way which I could apply it to my life. But I'm here today to tell us that from the start, God wants you to know, as a sinner, he's about to change your life into a saint. He wants you to know that your sins, although they may be as scarlet, he will make them white as snow. And as Isaiah 43:25 says, let us come and reason together with me. And the reason that God wants us to reason with him, and matter of fact, I'm just going to turn there in Isaiah 43 and verse number 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember thy sins. Every sin that we repent of, God no longer remembers. And he says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou may be justified. See, God wants you made right with him. And it's through the shed blood of Jesus that we can be. So we want to take a moment today and give every, before we even receive communion, we want every person to consider, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, why aren't you making him the Lord of your life? The only reason why is because possibly you didn't know how. His blood was shed so our sins could be forgiven, so a way could be made before Almighty God, so that not only could our sins be forgiven through our faith in Jesus Christ, but that we could actually receive the gift of eternal life. See, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. It was the shed blood of Jesus that forgives us and gives us the ability for our sins to be forgiven, for us to come to God, give our heart to Him, and Him become our Lord and Savior through our faith in Jesus Christ. We can be made right with God. Why not do that today? If you've gotten away from God, why not come back to God? Because there are times where have you heard things creep in. And we've allowed things to creep in. We didn't keep the serpent out of our own garden, like Adam didn't either. But we come to our senses and we say, you know what? Today is going to be a new start for me. I'm going to start over. I'm going to rededicate my life to God, and I'm moving forward by the grace and the mercy of God. And I'm going to believe and trust in the blood of Jesus to forgive me and to restore me into right standing with God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. With me, please.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.